today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
You know, I don't try to connect with, you know, 25 earrings and watches and heavily made up face and all that, because then the viewer is taken away from the soul of this woman, because I'm trying to connect with her eyes. I'm trying to connect with her emotions to, oh, wow, what an amazing dress. Well, as a photographer, I screwed up then. Yeah, it's a great dress, but I didn't take a picture of the dress. I took a picture of a woman.
Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today, we are learning how to uncover authentic beauty. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, a weekly podcast for those who believe that moments matter most and that a beautiful photo is more than just a sum of its settings. A show for those who want to do more with the gear they have to take better photos today. And now, your host, Raymond Hatfield.
Welcome back, photo friends. This is you. Oh, man. This is my favorite time of the week where we get to hang out together and we get to talk about one of my favorite things in the whole world, which is photography. Hopefully, it's one of your favorite things in the world, too, because if it is, let me tell you, today is going to be such a great conversation that you are going to hear. I got to say, traditionally, when I get ready for a podcast, I try to come up with a top, you know, obviously a topic for the interview so that we can stay on track. And I want to learn something specific about the photographer who I'm talking to. I mean, our time is limited and I really want to make the most out of it. But real quickly, this interview gets just derailed. And the conversation that we have is probably one of the most easy and authentic conversations I've ever had with another photographer about how they see the world, you know, why they shoot the way that they shoot. And I think that you're really going to enjoy this one because it is not a traditional interview. So really excited to get on into this interview today with Ramzi Mansour about his, his why in photography. Truly, it's something incredible that you're going to really enjoy. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about something that happened recently in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community. So if you don't know, there is a thriving community on Facebook for Beginner Photography Podcast listeners and members. And so last week, Taylor started a conversation who was looking for help. He said, I'm looking for some suggestions. When you advertise on your website and social, how do you describe your session? Like, how do you mention time, images, outfits, location, etc. to attract clients? And this is something that I see quite often, you know, from other photographers when they are advertising their services, whether it be on Facebook or it be on Instagram. And it is so easy to, you know, if you're just getting started in photography and you're looking to advertise yourself, you got to put it out there. You got to say what it is that you offer. You got to say how much it costs. And you really want somebody reading it to say, oh, yep, this is exactly what I need before they, you know, end up contacting you or booking you, right? So these things, they make sense. But I have found that the exact opposite works better. So when you put out there something to the effect of like, oh, hey, everybody, you know, I'm offering 30 minutes, 15 photos, $99. Like, let's go ahead and do this. That doesn't sell very well because what you're selling is the spec sheet. You're selling the features of what it is that you're selling. And if that's the only thing that somebody has to go by, that's exactly what they're going to compare to other photographers. And let me tell you what, there's always, even when you're brand new, there are always photographers who are going to offer more for less, and all these things. So when you just sell your spec sheet, time, money, deliverables, and that's going to be compared to everybody else, you're going to lose every single time. I mean, you might book a few sessions, but you're not going to build something long term. And you're not going to build something that is going to be sustainable for sure. So what I have found that always works better is when you're talking about your photography is don't talk about the session itself. Everybody hates the session. Like, nobody wants to stand in front of a camera and feel awkward in front of a stranger. That is your job to make them feel good, right? And maybe you do a great job. But if they don't know that, then the chances of them hiring you are going to be nothing. So rather, for me, rather than selling time, amount, and what it is that they're going to receive, I sell the outcome, the payoff, right? Or I sell the stress relief. You know, I am going to make you feel comfortable in front of the camera. Everybody who I've had in front of the camera says that they feel very uncomfortable. But by the end of it, we're best friends. We're laughing. We're having a good time. Or better yet, I don't use any words to sell my services. And I use a testimonial from one of my clients that says those things. In particular, there's one that does really well for me. And it was from a couple who I shot. And I never thought in a million years that they were going through this just based on the photos and the interaction that they had. But it wasn't until the testimonial came that said, you know, me and my fiance were extremely nervous to get in front of the camera, but Raymond made us feel at ease. We had a great time. You know, we were joking, we were laughing. We forgot that the camera was there, and the photos that we got were absolutely incredible. At that point, it doesn't even matter what it is that you charge, what you're going to deliver, because you're already solving the person's biggest pain point, which 9 times out of 10 isn't money. Like, people aren't buying the iPhone because it's the best value. They're buying it because Apple is selling them, oh, you're going to be so creative and you're going to be able to, you know, make these amazing things and have such a great camera, you know, to the point to where the money doesn't even matter. So I hope that you can take something out of that and apply that to your own photography and how it is that you, you know, try to attract other people and get them into your ecosystem as clients. You know, the outcome is always more valuable than the features it is that you are selling. So again, hope that you enjoyed that. If it did, let me know. You know, as I said, we're having these conversations in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community all the time. So if you're not part of it already, come on in. You can find the link in the show notes to this episode, or just search Facebook for Beginner Photography Podcast. You'll find it there. So, all right, with that, let's go ahead and get on into this interview right now. Again, you're really going to like this one, with Ramsey Munsauer. Ramsey, you know, one of the things that, after talking with you just for a few minutes here before we even started recording, it's very apparent that here in photography, you have a very strong mission and that you have a larger goal for your photography than just getting out and just taking pictures. And as, you know, somebody who's been, I think I've been shooting now for, I mean, non-professionally for more than 20 years, but
wow,
I can tell that by having that mission, like, that's what's going to help you go so much further than where you're at today, which is amazing to think about because, you know, quick Google search, there's a lot of accomplishments with your name on it. So before we get into any of that, I really want to know, like, where did photography start for you?
So it actually started by an accident, to be honest with you, right? I retired. I came to Cape Town. I came with my wife and kids here. And I was spending a lot of the time in the gym where I ended up looking like these bouncers in a nightclub. And I just thought this needs to change because it's not what I signed up for, you know. And one day I was walking in a mall, and I remember when I was young, my mom and my auntie used to take photos. They were models in the olden days, and you know, they used to take photos of them. And I was like, oh, well, let me just grab a camera and just, I don't know, take some photos of the kids or something. And I started taking some photos of the kids. And one day we were at school, and I pointed to my wife and I said, you know, look at this kid over there. My God, he's beautiful. He's a beautiful boy. But I mean, she goes, do you want to take photos of him? And I said, well, how do I just go up to this 12-year-old boy and or 16-year-old boy and say, hi, can I take photos of you? You know, it's a bit weird, right?
Yeah.
And by pure coincidence, his mother was a friend of my wife. And she goes, oh, no, I'll introduce you. And so they introduced me. And so, the mom asked me, are you a photographer? I said, well, not really. She goes, are you an amateur photographer? And I said, well, I'm not really. She goes, well, what are you? I said, listen, lady, I just think I could do justice with your son. And look, these are some photos of my kids that I took. And she goes, okay. And she said, sure, no, knock yourself out. So, you know, I took the kid to the beach. I had him dress up like James Dean. And, you know, I took some nice shots of him. The next thing I know, I get a phone call. Once I sent the pictures to her, I get a phone call the next day saying, look, I'd like to see you for coffee. I was like, okay. And next thing I know, I'm at a place and I walk in and it's very weird for me. I'm like, this is not a coffee shop. And there's a whole bunch of women sitting around a boardroom. They invite me in and they say, hi, listen, my name is so-and-so. I am the owner of this model agency. And how much do you charge for a test? And I said, excuse me, what? What's a test?
You know, this escalated quickly.
And I go, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm coming for coffee. And she started laughing and she said, you don't know what a test is. I said, no, ma'am, I don't know what a test is. And she said, well, look, I want to cut to the chase. The photos that you made are reminiscent of someone I greatly admire called Peter Lindbergh. And I haven't seen photos like that here in Cape Town. And they are beautiful. And I want you to shoot all my models. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested? And I said, sure. If you trust me, sure. And she said, okay. And I said, but I have some conditions. And she said, what's that? I said, well, the first condition is I'll never charge any money for it. So that's the first thing. The second is I want to shoot in black and white because that's what I feel is beautiful. She said, okay. And she said, what's the third? I said, I'd like to shoot you first. And she was the owner of the agency and she was an older woman, right? So she just blushed and she went red and we became good friends. And well, it was one, then another, then another, then another. And the next thing I know, 200 and something women later, it became, when you're in a small community, it your name gets out very fast, very quickly, you know, especially when you're talented in a certain area, you know, when people are getting the results. So all of a sudden, I ended up thinking, wow, I don't have to go to these models. I just am going to deal directly with the agency. And this way, I don't have to worry about anything. I just deal with the agency. They give me a brief. They say, look, this is what we're looking for. And I say, great. Can I shoot it my way? They say, sure. And I do it. And then eventually what happened was I started building trust in one agency, which led to me creating a small portfolio, which another agency saw that called me and said, look, would you be interested in shooting our models? And I said, sure. And then the next thing I know, I've got all the agencies. And I'm just trying to schedule how do I put this one over this one and this one first and this one, you know, because you always want to keep that loyalty to the original one that gave you that shot, you know, which, up till today, I always say, no matter who calls me, if she calls me first, I'm going to give her priority because I'm that kind of animal, you know, that loyalty is there, right? And yeah, and so it spiraled out of control, became viral, like they say, like a viral thing. And here I am today.
Okay, hold on. So there is a lot to go through right there. I think that what's so interesting is that, you know, you went out, you took these photos, and then now essentially you're getting a job offer and you have to learn on the job. So can you tell me about like what that process was like? Because, I mean, you're not classically trained in photography. Essentially,
no. Yes.
You're doing it all yourself.
Yeah. So, one thing with me, and if there's any advice I could give anyone, I mean, I did this in my business life. I did this when I wanted to be a CrossFit instructor. Whenever I want something, I become obsessed. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for me, your passion and your obsession is actually going to be the thing. Raw talent can only get you so far. Right. So in photography, you have an eye or you don't have an eye. You can always teach someone who has an eye the technical skills, but it is much more complicated to someone who has technical skills to teach them the eye. You know, it's either you have it or you don't. I was fortunate. I had the eye. I could spot composition immediately, but I didn't have the technical. So luckily today we have, YouTube. we've got YouTube. We have sites. We have Skillshare. We have so many documentaries that I downloaded. I bought books. I bought tutorials. I bought PDFs, eBooks. I just absorbed as much knowledge as I could. And for me, it wasn't necessarily the knowledge of, you know, the basic foundations of, you know, aperture, shutter speed, ISO. It was light. Because I soon discovered very quickly light was everything for me. How do I control and manipulate light and everything else falls? And so I just studied. And then the truth of the matter is it was testing. So I do something, I test it, write down notes. Nope, that didn't work. Let's try it again. Write down notes. Listen, when I have the sun at this, and I do it at this ISO and this shutter speed, these are the results. Okay, write it down. And I just kept on doing it, hundreds of photos. So self-taught, but I mean, you have to become obsessed. Well, at least for me.
What's great to hear you say there is, I think while a lot of people, it's very easy to go on YouTube and consume 100 million videos and then not doing anything about it. I loved hearing, you know, your process there of, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to try something very specific, and then I'm going to write down how it goes. Because, you know, having that feedback is really the only way that you can grow. But I'm interested, from all the YouTube videos, from the books, from the courses, from the documentaries, was there one thing that stood out maybe above the rest that I'd say opened up your eyes to a new aspect of photography?
For me, to be honest, if there was anything that I could say was, for me, mind-blowing personally, was when I discovered Peter Lindbergh. Mm-hmm. His photos was not the technical perfection of what photos are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Some of the shots were blurry, some were out of focus, some were too dark, some were too light. But there was a story in every single photo. You felt like you were there. You felt like he had a way of creating a story within just one single picture. And for me, that's what I set out to do. How can I make a photo that can encompass and encapsulate everything about that person I'm shooting? And then I realized it comes down to two things: rawness and authenticity. If there is no authenticity in a picture, it didn't fly. So Lindbergh was my inspiration, and then I studied him profusely. I bought every single book that the man ever had out. I downloaded every video that had been done about him, every YouTube video, every campaign he was in, every photo shoot he ever did. I tried to download in high res, and I would study them, open it, zoom in pixel by pixel. Why did he do this? What was his idea behind this? Why was she looking this way? Ah, this was the story. Uh-huh. I get it. This is how I started understanding. And you don't originally, when you start photography, you always copy. Yeah. Right? That's a basic thing. You have to, right? You got to copy, and that's fine. But as you're copying, you're learning, and you're learning what starts working for you and what doesn't. Because you're not Peter Lindbergh, you're not Herb Ritz, you're not, you know, Patrick DeMarchia, you're Ramsey or whoever, right? So you copy, but then you start realizing, well, I actually like it a bit more when I do this. And that's how you start developing your style, right? So it starts from somewhere, but the thing that has to be there always is your consistent shooting nonstop. Don't ever stop. Just shoot. And keep shooting. And I mean, you know that. I'm sure that's the same thing you do, I'm sure.
Oh, after, you know, my last wedding of the year is probably somewhere around October, November. And if I don't continually shoot during the winter, come May, that next wedding of the next year, I'm rusty and I feel terrible. Yeah. And that first wedding is always rough. That's exactly it. So luckily I got some kids who are fantastic test subjects to go around and photograph and keep me fresh. I want to go back to what you had said there about authenticity, right? The importance of making sure that your images feel real and feel raw. You know, oftentimes, say a model comes to you, say it's the first time that you're working with them. How do you build rapport with them right away to create that authenticity?
Great question. So I learned very quickly that in the beginning, what would happen was models would come on set and I would have to start and shoot and all that. Then as I slowly started developing a name, I started putting a little bit of my demands, so to speak. And one of the things I said was, look, I'm not going to shoot anyone unless I meet them first. Mm-hmm. And the reason was because I need them to understand me, who I am. And I'd love to understand who they are and not understand them as a model. So the first thing I tell them when I meet them is, look, I'm not interested in your portfolio and I'm not interested in your agency. Everybody knows that about me. I'm interested in you. But I can 99.999% guarantee that the photos we take will be in your portfolio and the agency will use them, right? But I'm shooting you. I want to meet the woman or the man, but it's 90% the woman, behind the model. And you will be shocked at the response I get because they're not used to this. They're like, mm-hmm. Are you serious? And I say, yeah. But like, but why? I said, well, why not? And they're like, well, no one's ever said that to me. I said, well, guess what? I am. Because in order for me to get an authentic moment from someone, I have to be authentic. it's a two-way street. I can't ask someone to, you know, to be vulnerable and let me in, and I'm not. It has to be a two-way street. So one of the things I do is I sit down, I meet them. They come either to the studio or I meet them at the agency, and I sit down with an hour, hour and a half, and I just get to know them. And I'm not interested in the model. They bring their portfolio with, and I said, look, I'm not interested in all this because the shots we take are going to be nothing like this. Tell me a bit about yourself. Tell me about your mom, your dad, you have brothers, sisters. What do you like doing on the weekends? And they're all like, I don't understand. Why are you asking me these questions? And I'm like, because I want to get to know you so that when I'm photographing you, I know what to trigger. If I want mood, I know what I need to speak to you about to get that emotional reaction. You know, and then they're like, oh, wow. And almost every single woman I've shot has cried when we're photographing, not for any other reason. But when I show them, you know, some of the photos on the camera, they start crying because they finally see the real them, you know, not the facade of who they have been led to believe they have to be. But they see them in all their beauty, in all their rawness. And they just, wow, they can, you know, they're amazed. And it's not me. I'm not better or worse than any other photographer. I'm just being real with them. I treat them the way I want to be treated.
Yeah.
And with that comes that connection. And with connection comes safety, comfort, and the most important thing, trust. And when there is trust, there is magic.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, as I was telling you earlier, you know, you just take one look through your Instagram feed and it looks as though you are best friends with every one of these models who you're photographing. And there is a genuine connection that I can see in the images. So I can tell that whatever you're doing is working, or whatever you're doing. You just told me exactly what you're doing. I can see that it's working. Yeah. But I want to know, like, where did you learn this from? Because I've never, you know, I've never seen this in like a YouTube video that says, hey, before your 1 hour session, let's sit down with them for an hour and a half and ask them about their family. So where did this come from?
You know, in my business career, because like I told you before the podcast, you know, I am a businessman, I'm a venture capitalist. And one of the things in business is it's a chess game. It's being able to sort of play the game and know when to bring out the queen, when not to, when to take the king, the pawn. So I was always trying to connect with people based on knowing when I should strike or not strike as a business. But when it comes to photography, you can't do that. You can't be playing with people's souls, right? It's like, yeah. I told you, it's a privilege. So what I did was say, okay, what did I do in business? Oh, it was always getting to know the person and understanding them. And that's how I would you know, trigger to get a transaction or a deal that I needed. Well, here we can use the same thing, which is getting to know people on a humane level to say, hey, how do we connect with each other in a safe and trusting way where you allow me to see part of you. Yeah, it's a small part, but that small part is very important to me. I'll show you who I am in all my good, bad, and ugly, and you just show me who you are, and together we make this magic.
Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy to follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. Wow. Can you give me an example of a time where maybe, you know, the information that you learned just while sitting down and talking with somebody really made the session that you were having with them like really special?
Okay. So, actually every single woman has been special. But I mean, you know, and I the thing is, I love them all. I really love every single woman I've ever shot, because they've, uh-huh. each one has taught me something. But there was this one particular woman who is now is like a little sister to me. She really is like my little sister, and she's like my muse. And she's been on the cover of New York Fashion Magazine with my photo, which is super exciting.
Yeah, congratulations.
And when we met, I got her number from an agency, and I called her up. And I said, hi, my name is Ramsey. I'm going to be shooting you on Friday. And I just thought I'd give you a call and say, hi, how are you? And get to know you a little bit. And she says, get to know me. And I got really taken back, and I said, yeah, I just wanted to know if I could just ask you just a few questions and just understand a little bit about you. She goes, how long have you been doing this? And I go, eight, nine months. She goes, eight, nine months. And I just thought, oh my God, this woman is crazy. She's, oh my God, she's actually, how can she talk to me like this? I'm just trying to be nice. Why is she, yeah. you know? And so, she was sweet. She was very polite to me, but I mean, I could tell immediately, like, oh, this is not going to work. I called the agency and I said, listen, I'm not going to shoot this woman. She said, what? They're like, I said, this woman, there's just no way. I tried. She's closed. She's not interested, and I'm not going to do it. And the owner of the agency, it was a friend of mine, said, Ramsey, I promise you, you're going to fall in love with her. Just give her a chance. I said, no way. She said, please give her a chance. I said, fine, I'll take your advice, but I think this is going to be a disaster. Anyway, came Friday. I was shooting a model at the beach. It was a very beautiful shoot. And I had shown the previous model some of the pictures. And it just so happened that she started crying because she felt so connected to those photos. Now comes in the other model and sees the first one crying, looking at the photos. So something must have triggered her, and she just sat down. I walked up to her and I said, hi, I'm Ramsey. And she said, I'm Katrine. I said, well, it's nice to meet you, Katrine. I said, look, I'd really like to start over. I just want you to know that I will do everything in my power to make sure I give you something that is worthy of who I think you are. And she looked at me, and it was like a millisecond. Honestly, it was like a millisecond, but it felt like an hour when you that one look. And she looked at me and she said, I'll give you everything I've got, but don't you dare hurt me. I held her hand. I held her hand and I said, I swear to God, I swear on my life and my kids, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to give you everything I have. And we did a shoot. And that shoot is a 12-page editorial in a New York fashion magazine that came out last month, actually. She's on the cover. Her pictures are next to, you know, Louis Vuitton and Prada and Chanel. And she's become so close to me. And in her defense, that's what photographers would do. Pick yeah. up the phone, say, hey, so listen, do you want to have a drink? You know, so that's immediately she didn't know me from a bar of soap. Right. So, but her, you know, it's again, it's all this preconception of each other. I just thought, oh my God, that's a diva. I don't want to be anywhere near her. This is going to be horrendous. This is going to be the worst thing ever. And actually, by going out of my comfort zone and with her going out of her comfort zone and us being vulnerable with each other and trusting each other, we were able to create something so phenomenal. So I don't know if that helps answer your question, but
it does.
That yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that, like, with your I guess unconventional start into photography here, I'm sure that there's a lot of things that you had to figure out, like.
Yes.
There's a world of very sleazy photographers out there, which is really unfortunate that models have to deal with. Yeah. How did that change the way that you approached models going forward?
So two things happened. You know, part of the reason I really got into the photography was one to, you know, look at the creative side of what I thought was my creative side. But the other was, you know, I was also, you know, I just didn't like the way women were being portrayed, you know, and I still don't. I think it is changing ever so slightly, but we went from a culture of women being supermodels, you know, for less of a better word, to being objects of sexual desire. Mm-hmm. And they became objects. And for me, that was something I didn't like. And what I didn't like more was that there was a lot of photographers that were using the title of photographer to leverage on treating and sort of demeaning women. And I'm not saying in a look, for them it wasn't bad. They did it because they think it's sexy and hot and you know, but at the end of the day, for me, it was how do I create timeless, elegant photos where it doesn't matter whether you're in the 1920s or in 2050, you'll never know my photo, which time it was taken. It's timeless. It's elegant. It's timeless. It is minimalistic. It is classic. It is raw. It doesn't matter. There is no, you know, frills and all that bedazzlement in it to make it, oh, that was done in 1980 when breakdancing was big, right?
Yeah.
It just is. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way I can answer that one, I think.
Well, you mentioned something there, and that was that your style of photography is kind of minimalistic. I would love to explore that more. Is that something that you strived for maybe when learning photography, or is this just a byproduct of how you're telling stories?
Well, what I saw was the following. You know, it's like another reason why people ask me, why do I shoot in black and white and not in color, right? Because a lot of them say my color is even more beautiful than my black and white. And I say, well, look, for me, two things. When I'm shooting a subject, I'm trying to really get to the essence of their soul. I'm photographing the person. I'm trying to get into, because aesthetically, they're models. It doesn't matter who shoots them. It's going to be a beautiful picture because they're beautiful people, mm-hmm. right? So for me, well, how do I up the game? How do I become the photographer that they say, oh, wow, well, I've got to be able to showcase something that is not the norm. And for me, that is that minimalistic, raw emotion. So you'll notice in my photos, most of the clothing and styling is very minimalistic. It's very neutral colors, either darks or creams or beiges, very neutral, because I'm trying to connect with her eyes. I'm trying to connect with her emotions. You know, I don't try to connect with, you know, 25 earrings and watches and, you know, heavily made up face and makeup and all that, because then the picture is taken, the viewer is taken away from the soul of this woman to, oh, wow, what an amazing dress. Well, as a photographer, I screwed up then. Because for what I'm trying to do, it was a big, yeah, it's a great dress, but I didn't take a picture of the dress. I took a picture of a woman, a beautiful woman. And now you're telling me it's a beautiful dress, that's a bad photo, you know? So I try to keep that. And the same thing goes with color. I could bedazzle you with roses and petals and all sorts of things. And you're like, wow, look at this color. But then it takes away from the directive, the narrative, which is the soul of this woman that's allowing me to photograph her. It's gone. Because you're looking at every other thing in the picture. Yeah. So again, I try to cut that out as well. Wow. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I mean, there's a place and time for everything. Yeah, and there is no wrong or right. I'm just saying this is how I found my niche in photographing raw emotion.
There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar. Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to the show in just a moment. Let me ask you, were you happy with your photos when you were just taking snapshots with your phone or a point-and-shoot camera? Of course not. You wanted to unleash your creativity and capture the world with your unique vision. That's why you bought a DSLR. My free ebook, 46 Free Creative Photography Ideas, is built on that premise of taking ordinary ideas and using your creativity to make something uniquely your own. That ability to think outside of the box is what makes world-class photographers so successful. It's not their camera gear or their fancy lenses, but it's their ability to come up with a creative idea and execute. So download your free copy of 46 Creative Photo Ideas now by heading over to creativeimageideas.com. That is creativeimageideas.com. Now, let's go ahead and get back on into today's interview. This is a really interesting conversation. You know, I'm not sure that many. I think this is interview number 252, and in that time, I don't think I've ever heard a photographer describe not only what it is that they shoot, how they shoot, and why they shoot it, as well as you have here. I'm just trying to break down. Of course, I'm trying to get a little bit deeper into that, because I know that we all have a why in photography, and obviously, just again, the almost 25 minutes that we spent talking before we even hit record here, I could tell how passionate you are about photography. So tell me, you've kind of gotten to this point to where you keep shooting, you get better and better. Your emotional intelligence with working with others gets better and better as well. Like, where do you see the future of your photography going? Is there an area in which you're lacking that you want to improve on here?
That's a great question, and I've been asked that so many times, because people are like, do you want to be on the cover of Vogue? And I go, well, not really. There was a time when I thought, okay, if I'm on the cover of Vogue, that's the epitome of I've made it. But I've just realized that, not really. No, that's not, for me, I think where I am in photography is what I would like to do is hold an exhibition. I think this is where I will be, and perhaps publish some more books with different awarenesses into things that matter to me. So it could be whether it was a cancer project, or whether it's going to be on gender-based violence or something, because I think technically and artistically I'm able to produce photos that people are drawn to. Yes. But I want to find, I continuously want to find a cause. Otherwise it's a gift that is going nowhere. It is, how do we use this gift to tell a story? And so for me, it's now storytelling. Right now it's in fashion and portraiture, but as we evolve, I want to use it to tell stories for causes. And I think that will happen once I finish and complete my cancer project. Once I have one or two exhibitions under my belt, I think it'll become much more clear. But to be in magazines and it's great. I love it, but it's not the end goal for me.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not the end goal.
Tell me a little bit more about your. It's an upcoming book, right? It's not released yet. And again, talking to you about how important cancer awareness has been. Talk to me about what sorts of things are going into these photos that are making this project special for you?
Okay. So, this thing is also how it started is quite interesting, because I had shown some of these photos to friends of mine, the models. And, my friend looked at me and she goes, look, these are great, but they're beautiful women. Why don't you shoot women who are not beautiful? And I said, well, why would I do that? And they said, well, why not? And I got home and I was a bit angry and annoyed. And I thought, I did all this work and now she's saying I shouldn't shoot beautiful people. I mean, I don't get it. And then I realized what she was actually trying to tell me, right? And I said, there's beauty in everybody. And I thought, oh, now I understand. Okay, but look, I'm not a street photographer. I've been doing this, fashion and modeling photos. Okay, how could I change? Well, I walked into the agency one day and there was this booker and we were just talking and she was like, well, what do you want to do with photography? I said, I'd love to do a book. I'd love to do something that, you know, matters. I'd love to help people, inspire people. And she said, well, what do you think of? And I said, well, look, you know, maybe I'd do something with cancer. You know, my father had cancer and you know, luckily God, you know, God bless his soul, he got out of it. But it was, I remember for me as a young child, it was detrimental. And we've had, you know, people who had cancer in our family. So maybe about cancer. And she said, well, I had cancer and I had breast cancer and I had double mastectomy.
Oh,
and I
wow.
said, oh, really? Oh, wow. I said, is this something that you would be interested in doing with me? And she said, I would love to. And I said, well, think about it. And if it's something that, you know, you have an interest in, let me know and we'll work on it together. You know, I'll finance everything, but yeah, I'd love to do it. Lo and behold, 5 days later, I get an email from this amazing woman with a list of 40 or 50 women that she had contacted and said, yes, they would willing to put their portraits and their stories in a book. So by now I was like, oh boy, this is real. I can't really get out of this one now. And I called her up and I said, first of all, you're just incredible. I don't know how you managed to get all this information in such a short amount of time, but wow, that passion and that gust, that whole gusto that you have, listen, I'm all in. And so I called in, a couple of people in my team. So a hair and makeup artist that would be, you know, help with the hair and makeup, people that would do the editing. I brought in my wife, who had a big background in journalism, and so she would help interview the stories. And I thought, okay, if we create, you know, 50 of these women, all races, you know, all colors, all ages, all South African, who have been diagnosed with breast cancer and have beaten it, or are in the process of beating it, and we create beautiful black and white portraits the way I take of models, but just everyday women. And we create these inspirational stories in their words, not mine, but their words, where we create a black and white coffee table book, and we can put every single hospital or cancer ward, we can put one of these books where if a woman or young woman feels a lump in her breast and is able to go to wait in a doctor's room, because you never see a doctor on time, you're always waiting 30, 40, 50 minutes, 1 hour. So well, in that 1 hour, instead of her sitting there being scared about her life or without looking at some Vogue magazine or car and motorcycle magazine that's, you know, the doctor has there, well, she could pick up this book and see everyday people just like her who have experienced everything she's about to experience and have beaten it, and the reasons that they beat it, how they beat it, what inspired them to beat it. And I just figured, look, if we can just have, if just one person gets inspired by this and decides to fight it and win over cancer, then for me, I've done my job. That's all I've ever wanted to do. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've never had cancer in my family. I'm not sure if I even know anybody personally who's had to battle cancer, but I know, obviously how devastating it can be. And I can only imagine that if I went to a doctor's office and I was scared and there was this, this book of hope right there, then it would make me feel a whole lot better about myself. And obviously the photography in it is a big part of that. So, let's continue on with that, because obviously that's gotta be a big project to undergo. So
yeah,
talk to me about the storytelling aspect of it. Obviously, or I take that back. Talk to me about the storytelling aspect of the photography that you're doing. Is it backdrop, same lighting, photos back to back? Is this an entirely new setup every time you shoot?
No. So what we're trying to do is keep it synonymous across the board. So what it is they come in, I meet them, and I hear their story. And well, one thing I can tell you is that every time I shoot one or two of these women, for 3 or 4 days, I'm in a very down. emotional. Yeah. The stories that I've heard, you know, and it's not like in a Hollywood movie or something. This is real life. These are people that have, you know, they've been to hell and back. Some of them have had it several times and it's come back worse. And you know, it's just crazy, the stories that I've heard. So, you know, I'm emotionally drained. I mean, I've sat and cried with these women in the studio because I'm just so overwhelmed. And so, we get to hear their story. And then when they're ready and we do hair and makeup, and it's just touching up, you know, just to make them feel beautiful, right? And I try, again, very minimalistic clothing. And it's really three quarters or headshots. And I just say to them, I say, the story that you have gone through in this cancer journey, I just want to feel it. Talk to me through the lens. Let's do this little dance, you and I. And in that dance, I want to see the story and eventually what it did to you and who you are today. Mm. And you will always find towards the end of the shoot, this glow in their eyes. And it's almost funny because, you know, especially when I'm taking my Octobox and the catchlight goes on them, it's almost like it's weird, but it's almost like a miraculous light, God's light is shining on them, because it's these photos just really portray them. And, you know, these are not models. These are just everyday women. And, you know, they're not always aesthetically pleasing to photos. You know, they may be, you know, as you know, there are some people who are beautiful in real life, but you take photos, it doesn't really look good. Sure. Then there are others that are that, you know, you're like, oh my God. And then you take a photo of them and you're like, Jesus, it's a supermodel. It's just angles and light. And, you know, yeah. So these are just, you know, and so it's a big pressure on me because I have to find a way to light them and hide shadows and curves and contrast and all that to try and keep them in the most beautiful light as possible while still getting that emotional connection and their story. So then that happens. And then the next thing they do is they have a long Zoom call with my wife with several discussions about what they went through, which she then translates and she then turns it into an inspirational story. And yeah, it's a year and a half so far that we've been on this project. But yeah, it'll be out in October.
That's going to be real powerful stuff, real powerful.
I hope so. It's a big responsibility.
If a copy ever comes to America, I would love to get my hands on it and take a look.
We're going to do it in ebook as well. So we will set up a site and we'll put up for free on an ebook, because at the end of the day, right, this is something these women have entrusted me with, telling their story.
Sure.
You know, it's a massive, massive, it is much bigger responsibility than taking beautiful photos of beautiful women, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think maybe that's also why I take beautiful photos of beautiful women, because it's just a bit more feeling good. It's a good feeling. It's more uplifting and my spirits are more uplifted, because really I'm very emotionally drained and I have to do right. I have to do justice by them. And, you know, I will make sure that you get a copy. I mean, it'll be there for anyone who wants to see it, you know, as long as we can inspire.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds incredible. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what it is that you are able to create with that, because already, I mean, I'm getting kind of emotional over here hearing about this. So I know that, you know, having something in your hands is just going to be real powerful. I want to go back to, let's keep talking about, you know, one of the things that you said, I believe earlier, is that you didn't want to do any sort of editing or retouching on your photos. And when it comes to photography, especially fashion photography, I mean, the two kind of go together, right? Photography and then the edit. And we live in a world where, you know, within the past year, we've seen the before and afters of celebrities on magazine covers. And it's almost like, who are these people? So for you to kind of take a stance against that, I'm interested to hear where that comes from and how you're able to or what you're able to do in camera to ensure that you get the photos that you want.
Geez, you're really good at these questions. You know, wow.
These are great questions.
Yeah, no, they're great questions. And okay, so with regards to the photoshopping, right? Here's my view. And the reason I have such a big stance on it is because, again, people don't understand. I believe they don't understand the repercussions of their actions. They think that by photoshopping an image to make it look perfect, you're actually doing justice to the woman. But in actuality, what you're doing is you're giving her a false ideology of an idea she cannot meet herself, right? Mm-hmm. And she cannot attain it because it's digitally done. you'll never get her skin to look like that. You'll never get her nose or her chin or whatever. And the problem is that a lot of these women today are, for lack of a better word, are being validated and lived through social media. Okay. So your Instagram is your validation of who you are today. When you have 50,000 followers, you're somebody. If you don't, you're nobody. It's really disgusting, but it is kind of the way of the world, how it is. And these women live through the likes, validations, and comments that they get on these photos. Sure. So the more Photoshopped these photos are, the more, oh my God, you're beautiful. Oh my God, your skin is amazing. Oh my God, oh, I wish I could be you. And so on and so forth from all these other people trying to be this woman. And this woman has to try and find a way to constantly achieve this. And it's not sustainable. There's no way. And for me, it's like, well, you're not only hurting yourself, because I know that these young girls who cannot achieve this, they go and they have plastic surgery to get their nose the way it is in Photoshop. They get their fillers and Botox and whatever. And they're injecting themselves with all sorts of things to try to look like the photo, right? And you're not only setting a bad example for the people who follow you and who idolize you and who want to be like you, but you yourself cannot attain this. And so you become very insecure. Your confidence levels dips completely. You become an introvert. You become all sorts of things mentally and emotionally because you can't achieve it. So I'm just like, well, if we could find a way to show you how beautiful you are without all of this, doesn't that make it easier?
Of course.
Doesn't that make it easier? Aren't you able then to put any photo of you saying, this is me. This is who I am. I'm not perfect. For me, perfection is in the imperfect. That's what's so, you know, none of us are perfect. So why are you trying so hard to look like an avatar? You don't even look, you look like an emoji. You don't even look real anymore, you know? And I don't get it. I really don't get it. So for me, from day one, I took a stance and I said to myself, there is no way in God's given earth, you know, look, we have something, and you know, it's called dodging and burning in the old days, you know, playing with contrast, playing with exposure. I have no problem with that. And yes, if a model has a bruise on her leg, we will remove the bruise. But sure. For me to manipulate and change her facial structure or put her stomach in or remove the cellulite or nah, hell no, no way. And everyone who shoots with me knows that there's no way. And maybe this is why these girls are actually, and these women are actually so happy. It's because I'm showing them at all their age groups. And I've shot women up to 55, 60. And I've shot 20-year-olds. And I show them, well, this is how beautiful you are today. When you're 50 or 60, I don't want you to look 20 because you're not.
Yeah.
But yeah. You're beautiful at 50. You're even beautiful at 60. It's just a different beautiful, you know? I'm almost 50. And, you know, I'm not what I looked like when I was 20. You know, but I am what I am today, and I'll take it with stride because I'm not going to go back in time. I'm only going to go forward.
Right.
I might as well enjoy what I look like today, right? And yeah. Just enjoy it. So for me, that's the stance I took. That on Photoshopping, I'm very much against it, and I'm very much about changing the color. I've seen pictures of black women that don't look black; they look white, and I'm like, well, what's going on here? She's beautiful. This is her skin. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. So for me, I take a very big stance on that. You know, I'm against it. And your second question was, how do I do it in camera? Manipulation of light. Honestly, I mean, that's really what it is. How do you get the best angles and the best lighting to sort of get the best glow, the best shapes out of the person you're shooting, that you need minimal, if anything, post. You know,
yeah.
that's really the game. It's lighting. How do you light your subject?
Does it change for everybody? Say somebody who's 20 who comes in, is it a totally different lighting setup than somebody who's 60 who comes in?
Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, I think my best friends in the studio are my modifiers, you know, from the Octoboxes to the beauty dishes to the zoom reflectors. And, you know, again, I've just tried everything, seen what works. Sometimes I shoot against, you know, a polyboard so that it bounces on the polyboard and then comes back. Sometimes I shoot the ceiling. So I tried so many things because, you know, for an older woman, you want a softer kind of feel. For a younger woman, you want a more chiseled. For a man, you want him to look rugged, you know, and lighting changes. And as you're changing the direction, as you know, as you're changing the direction and the movement of light, you're getting different aspects of the facial features. So yeah, for each person, it changes. But again, it's trial and error. There is no set, you know, there is no some, this is set in stone and this is what you have to do. You know, my lighting is always changing.
Of course. Yeah. That's the thing with lighting is that like once you're in control of it, you're in control of everything, which is I think so hard for new photographers to fully understand. When you had first got started and you went out and you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier with you trying to learn on the job, essentially, was there something that you had a real hard time with that just wasn't clicking until, I guess, was there anything that just wasn't clicking for you right away?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I wasn't sure what I was doing. I doubted myself, right? And I think a lot of beginners are going to do the same thing. They're going to doubt themselves. And that's fine. That's okay. It's normal. If you don't doubt yourself, then you got issues. I think you should doubt yourself, right? So I doubted myself a lot. And what I also, one of the things that I made a mistake was I was just taking too many photos on any given subject. Yeah, I was just constantly taking photos nonstop. So on one look, I would take 300-400 photos. Well, then I found out, well, when you come back home, it's going to take you another, you know, 6 hours to go through it. So now I have two rules of thumb when I'm shooting. And one of them was taught by a mentor, photographer friend of mine called Henry. And he said to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, when you're shooting, and I tell this to every woman that I shoot and when I meet them, I said, there are two things that you have to know about me. The first thing is when I'm composing you in the shot, unless it's a photo that I would take of my mother, my wife, my sisters, or my daughter, I'm not going to take the photo of you. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't matter whether you have clothes, you don't have clothes. If it's not something that I would take of my own daughter, then I'm not going to take it of you. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, which is the most important, is I say to myself, God forbid anything happens to this woman tomorrow, right? If she dies tomorrow, what is the last photo anyone will ever see of her? Make sure it counts. Make sure that photo counts. So now when I'm taking photos, I don't spray and pray. I am deliberately in my mind putting in my, if this was her last photo, how do I want the world to see this beautiful human being?
Oh my gosh. That is, that's deep. That is like really deep stuff right there. I mean, it sounds... This has been such an interesting conversation. I feel like everything that we have discussed, one thing that I love about talking with you is just how intentional you are with everything that you're doing. You know, it sounds like you're open to making mistakes, and that's fine, and you're going to learn from those mistakes. It sounds like the decisions that you do make, you're making them intentionally, and you know exactly why you're making them. Whether or not it's what it is that ultimately ends up happening is obviously another story. But I love hearing, you know, just the intentionality that you have with your photography. And this has been a fantastic conversation. Ramsey, I really don't know how to end it much better than that. I mean, that was deep. I'm sure that people are driving in their car right now with tears coming down their face. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to make sure that that listeners know?
Look, for me, it's a very simple thing. If it has anything to do with beginner photographers, if there was any advice I could give them, is just get out there and shoot. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. I mean, look, I'm making mistakes every single day. I know for a fact, I come home and I tell my wife, I go, sweetheart, I don't know. I'm winging it. I don't know what I'm doing. And next thing you know, your photos are on the cover of magazines, or, you know, you're doing an exhibition, or you're doing a book. So, the only time you're ever going to fail is if you don't try. As far as I'm concerned, as long as you try, you haven't failed. That's it. So mistakes are, they're normal. Do it and just keep shooting. Just keep shooting.
That's great. Again, Ramsey, I have to thank you so much for sharing everything that you have shared with us today. It's been a blast talking with you. I really look forward to keeping up with you in the future. But before I let you go, can you let people know where they can find out more about you and see some of your work online?
Yeah, so we've got the Facebook and Instagram, and it's at the Ramzi Mansour, and I'm sure you can you put it on the it's TheRamziMansour at the Ramzi Mansour, and my website is also www.ramzimansour.com, and yeah, for now that's it. And when I have an exhibition, it'll be on the website, and the portals will be there. So wish me luck on that one.
Oh, man, all the luck in the world, for sure. Again, Ramzi, thank you so much for coming on today. I look forward to keeping up with you in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
What did I tell you? I feel like I say that like after every interview, but seriously, oh my gosh. My biggest takeaway from this, not only it was, you have to be passionate about this. You know, if you just simply enjoy photography, like, that's great. You know, go out and take those photos and enjoy it. And that is wonderful. But the amount of passion that Ramzi brings to his photography and having a why that is just like in your face, here's why I do what I do. There's nothing more powerful than that. There's nothing more powerful than that. There's nothing that is going to drive you faster to getting the results that you're looking for. Because if you're not passionate about something, you're not going to work hard for it. But when you really want something, when you really enjoy something, you are going to do everything in your power to make sure that you're able to do it and do it well. You know, again, this Ramzi, if you're listening right now, geez, one of the best conversations I've had in a long time. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your, you know, your expertise and your knowledge with the listeners of the podcast. I know that they enjoyed it. And if you did, if you're listening right now, if you're a listener, feel free to let me know your thoughts in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook community as well. I would love to hear your biggest takeaway. This is one I'm going to remember for a while. So with that, and that's it for this week. Until next week, I want you to get out. I want you to keep shooting. I want you to stay safe. And that's it. I'll see you next week. Love y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Look, you know, I mean, I'm still a newbie at this. I have so much to learn, but you know, it does exactly. It's, you know, we get so caught up. I mean, I'll tell you something. When I started, I bought myself a Sony, A7. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, said, he's an Italian, right? And he said, you have a Sony? Only idiots use a Sony. You are supposed to be using a Leica. I said, a what? He said, a Leica. So what the hell is a Leica? He said, it's the best camera in the world. It's a proper camera. So the next thing I did was, you know, not to look stupid, I went and I bought every flipping Leica known to man.
Oh my God.
Okay. And the truth of the matter is, It was a mistake, and it wasn't. It was a mistake because I went for the usual. You look for the best and then you take the best pictures. Whereas actually I've seen some photos from a guy that's still got an old Canon AE-1 from the 1980s. And man, I know guys who are using a Leica M9 that has 12 megapixels, and they put me to shame. Right. So I learned that lesson that it ain't the camera, right? It ain't the camera. But one thing that I can say that has really put my photography on another level are the lenses. If you have beautiful lenses and that have beautiful rendering, you will get amazing photos.
That's Leica right there. You know, sometimes exactly. I don't even think, obviously they make great cameras, but I really think that where they shine is their lenses, for sure.
Well, what I love about the Leica system is that the A7 or the A9 or the A7 R4, you can shoot 20 frames per second, and the eye is you'll never make a mistake. Leica don't have that. I mean, honestly, they don't have that. Trust me, I know. I use them all, right? But what it does have is it slows you down, and it allows you to focus on the moment. So I got rid of all my Canons, all my Sonys, all my Nikons. I got rid of everything. I actually gave them all away to people, just gave them away. And I focused only on Leica. And I said, Ramzi, don't become the guys that just spray and pray. Slow down, be deliberate, see the movie. It's almost like a movie in my head. See it, capture it. And those lenses have a lot to do with the photos that you see, in fairness to them. Yeah.
Sure.
Those lenses are, yeah. There's, yeah.